And people have questions a lot. In the Bible, I'll make a statement a lot of times, and I expect you to know that. And I don't really expect you to believe it until you double-check me. And so let's go back. We've talked about what your question was, where are the two Edens in the Bible? Okay, two Edens. And I have said in the past that there were two Edens, that one was the throne room of Hillel, and the other was the throne room of Adam, did I not? So let's go look and see where it is in the Bible. Now, Ezekiel 28, and Isaiah 14. Let's go to Isaiah 14 first. Now, if you look up on your dispensational chart, and I want to reaffirm this again, that I am not a hyper-dispensationalist. Many people believe that men were saved in different ways and different ages all the way down. I do not believe that. Salvation has been of grace, only by grace and nothing else. Only by grace. All the way through. They believed God in that if they performed and did this, they believed God, and by faith they were saved. The Bible says by a faith, Abraham believed God, didn't he? Okay? So look back in time now. Look on the chart. Look back over there in eternity past. Go, here's eternity future. There's eternity past. Now, let's look at this for just a minute. Eternity, let's look at eternity like a circle. In this great eternity, in this great period of time, times, Iona, Tonion, Olam, Barashit, whatever you want to call it, in our case, in eternity's past, there's a period of time. And God marked off a period of time. Now we got it, this is a circle chart. Only because I want you to understand that this is timeless. This is all timeless here. This is eternity. And here we have time. Chronos. Okay? Time. This is where we get the word chronology. We have time. Space and time. What we're going to talk about right now is not in space and time. This is in eternity past. Something happened in eternity past. Okay, let's see what happened. Now we have God creating the heavens, don't we? Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Et HaShemayim, We Et HaAretz. So God created the heavens, the whole universe. He created the expanse to put the heavens in. And then it says, We HaAretz. And he placed the earth in exactly the right place in eternity past. The earth was created in eternity past, before time began. Angels were created in eternity past, before time began. Okay? And now that's what we are. In time, we have the creation of man over here. We have the reconstruction of the earth. We have the reconstruction of the earth, and we have the creation of man, and then we go all the way like this, right there, from Adam, all the way over here to the millennial reign, and the great white throne judgment, and then eternity past in the beginning. So this circle begins over there, and it just goes around. Now, I'm not saying it's going to repeat itself again. We're not talking about time repeating itself again. I want you to understand that. But I just don't know any place else the way to show you eternity. Because we have no idea. What does Olam mean, Brother Roger?
It, as far as you can imagine, then that's when an eternity
That's
starts.
When it begins. Yeah. Go back and think as far as you can imagine, and then that's where that begins. It's beyond anything that you can think of. Okay? Now let's go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, and what does it say up there? In what verse? I want you to 12. Okay. Now I already knew that, but I want you to look at the chart. See, I want you to start being able to look at the chart. How have you fallen from heaven? How have you fallen from heaven? Now this is a dual prophecy, and the major actor here in this prophecy is Lucifer, Hillel. How have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? All right. O star of the morning, how have you fallen from heaven? Now, right here, if you go into the Gospel of Luke, see if I can find that in the New Testament. Luke 10:18, Jesus is talking. He's talking after the 70 have been sent out, and he talks about the happy results, that they came back, that they have power over what? What did the disciples, the church, have power over? Sharon, do you remember?
They had power over demons.
Had power over demons and the powers of the dark world. Okay, now, so Jesus is making a comment on that. It said, and the seven returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, this is what we call the universal kingdom of God. Even though Satan is the God of this world right now, present tense, but God still has the whole economy of the whole universe within his power. Satan is on a leash. He's got a chain collar on him. He can do certain things, but he can only go so far. And everything that Satan does, God uses it for good in his eternal purpose, his unpreventable progress. He still is able to do that. He talks about degrees in hell here, and then he starts here. And the 70 returned, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Yes. The demons are still subject to Jesus. Right here, they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And he said unto them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now go back again to Genesis 1 and 2. And 1. Barashith bara. Elohim et hashemayim we et haaretz. In beginnings, in the eternities past, God had created, Elohim had created the heavens and the earth. And then, we ha'aretz. What does that say? We ha'aretz. And the earth, hatya, she had become tohu wavohu.
Formless and void.
And it said that there was darkness over the faces of the deep. And then it says, Ruah Elohim meripacheth el panei hamayim. And then it says, Spirit God suffered over, participle, continuing thing. Spirit God suffered over all of this terrible mess. And then we find God separating darkness from light, and God making the light shine again, and all of this. All right. Isaiah 14. How have you fallen from heaven, O Hillel, son of the dawn, son of the morning? You have been cut down to earth. You have weakened the nations. What nations did he weaken? Huh?
The angelic.
The angelic nations. How much of the angelic nations did he take, according to Revelation? One third of the angelic and spiritual forces had been taken by him. I don't believe they were all taken from one sphere. He was in the material realm. I believe he took some from the spiritual realm, and he took from the intellectual realm. Some of Gabriel's went with him, and some of Michael's went with him. And probably the most powerful and most dangerous ones were Michael's group. We still have guardian angels. You believe that, Sharon?
Yes, I do.
Absolutely. I don't think, did I happen to show you that gun that blew up in my hand the other day in my class? Do you think there's guardian angels around them?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that was possible? You've seen explosions. Do you ever see anybody else walk away from that like that? I have never seen anybody walk away from something like that in my life. And I've been through a lot of other things, too. I mean, I had a guy coming at me 90 miles an hour and a great big German Shepherd about 200 pounds, like a wolf, run out in front of me and hit my truck. And me and that man, I was doing 45 and he was doing 90, and he was in an Oldsmobile 98 in 1972. You know how big an Oldsmobile 98 was? Probably 5,000, 4,000 pounds. And I hit him with a one-ton Jeep truck. The whole front end of that truck was gone. It was gone. It was demolished. He was killed instantly. I drove that steering wheel completely through the windshield. My foot was on the brake pedal. I broke the brake pedal off with my foot. I broke the key off in my knee and smashed in my dash. And when that thing finally started, it was right down there by where Bolt House is, right there on Brundage Avenue between Fairfax and Weed Patch Highway, right there where the railroad tracks are. I was coming this way. He was going that way. And I mean to tell you, talk about parts flying and everything, I was going backwards faster than I was going forwards. Just like slung me out of a slingshot. And when that thing finally stopped, I opened the door of that truck. And I looked out, and it had no front end on it, no engine, nothing. It was all gone. The bell housing was completely crushed. The ring gear fell off the flywheel. It's all busted. The front end is laying out there. It's four-wheel drive. The front end's all over the road. Oil and grease and stuff just every which way. I looked around there, and of course my knee was hurting. I had a hole in it where the key went in it. My hands were kind of banged up. But I was walking. I had a seat. My right passenger seat had a great big grocery bag of walnuts. Half of those walnuts were cracked. Half the walnuts were cracked. And I walked away from there. And by the way, I had already got hurt in the oil fields, and I was already paralyzed, and I was in that wreck in that peril when I was paralyzed. I was walking a little bit that day. My neck had been broken twice already. I had a basal fracture, which I walked away from all this stuff. And I'm beat up now, and I should have been paralyzed completely at that time, except I walked away. That gun blew up in my hand. 2 weeks later, I had another wreck. A guy run me off the road. And I said, "Lord, what do you want?" I said, "What do you want?" He said, "You God and godly buzzard, get to preaching is what I want you to do." So I earnestly began doing what I thought I was supposed to do when I was about 11, 12 years old. But I never did it, and I didn't know what I was doing. Star of the morning, son of the morning star. By the way, you know what the emblem of this was? The crescent moon. That's this, the star with a crescent moon. Think about that. What is the star and the crescent moon, the emblem of today?
Islam.
What was that, brother?
Islam.
Islam. All right. You have been cut down to earth. You have weakened the nations. This is the spiritual forces, not only the nations here, but there were animals on earth, weren't they? What happened to the animals on earth? Many of them were killed and destroyed. There's where we have the fossil fuel today, all of that. This is where the earth was just turned upside down into an absolute tohu wabohu. But you said in your heart, "I will ascend to heaven, and I will raise my throne above the stars of God." Stars of God are what?
Angels.
The angels. "And I will sit in the mount of the assembly." In the recesses of the north, which way is heaven? North, and straight up into the third heaven. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, the first heaven, the what we call the atmosphere. I will make myself like the Most High. Who? God. Nevertheless, you'll be thrust down the Sheol to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you, and they will ponder over you. And is this the man who made the earth tremble? Think about that. You know who Satan is a double type of? Who is it going to be his son during the tribulation period?
You mean the Antichrist?
The Antichrist, that's going to be literally his son. That's going to be the son of him. That's going to be his child, his begotten. Who shook the kingdoms? Who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities and did not allow its prisoners to go home? Those that went with him, could they ever go back? Once they had exited God's glorious domain, could they ever go back to God? No. Now, is this helping you a little bit? Now, Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28 and verse 11. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the word, the davar, of Jehovah. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, do, O prophecy. One is talking about the king of Tyre, but I want you to tell me how much of this applies to the king of Tyre and how much of this applies to Satan. Okay? You had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect of beauty. Who's that? Lucifer. Lucifer. By the way, the name Lucifer does not come from the Bible, does it? It comes from the Latin Vulgate, the translation of the Bible. Verse number 13, I want you to look at that real, real good there, Pamela. Can you read that with me, everybody? You were in Eden, the garden of God. Was the king of Tyre ever in Eden? No. Who was in Eden? The Eden was the throne room of God. That was the throne room of Lucifer, and it was the throne room of Adam. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. The lapis, the lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald. The gold and the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared, and you were the anointed cherub. Was the king of Tyre ever an anointed cherub? No. He was never an anointed cherub. Who is this talking about? Talking about Lucifer. Hallel. Now this is the first Eden, which is the throne room. And in that throne room we have nothing but beauty. God creates nothing but beauty, does he? Creates beauty. Have you ever just looked at your eyes and just wondered how beautiful they are? Look at the iris of your eyes. Look in that, the beauty in that, in your eyes. The beauty of the iris of your eyes. That's just one little part of something that God created. And what does it do? Man, wow, what it does. It's just photographing constantly, photographing, photographing, photographing. And the eyes are the light of the soul, it is said. Your anointed cherub who covers and placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. What does mountain mean in the Bible, Sharon? Mountain. Remember? Mountain. Government. 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 You were in the holy government of God. What was he? What part did Lucifer play in God's economy in eternity past? He was in charge of all the praise of God. He's the anointed cherub. He was his choir leader in the holy government of God. Is this helping you?
Yeah.
This all right? You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. What's that? The stones of fire. Remember in the book of Revelation, the glassy, great, glassy throne of God? The rainbow throne of God. And a diamond does what? It reflects light. Pearls reflect light. How many pearl gates are there on New Jerusalem? 12 pearl gates in New Jerusalem. And what do pearls do? They reflect light. And that throne room is the literal, here's the throne of God sitting on a giant polished diamond pavement, reflecting the glory of God. And he was there in the holy mountain, a holy government of God. I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire, that great reflective pavement in the throne room of God. You were blameless in your ways. Think about that. Sinless, wasn't he? Did God ever create anything that had sin in it? No. From the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. And what caused that unrighteousness? Cohortive. And what is that? Cohortive and juicy. What is that?
Choice.
Volition. Volitational. He had volition. Could God receive any glory from anything that he created unless it voluntarily worshipped and served him? No. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence. What did you do? Running to and fro, doing the things of God, but he was doing what? All the time thinking of violent things to do. How will I overthrow? And you sinned. Well, all of us have sinned, haven't we? But thank God, God gives a redemption for us. They don't have any redemption. You sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane. What's profane? Unholy. From the mountain of God. He lost his, as a choir leader, he lost all of that, didn't he? I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. From the midst of the stones of fire, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. Where was that? Luke. He saw him, and that was Genesis 1 and 2. I put you before kings. What kings? What kings? What kind of angels are there? Archangels. These are king angels. These are king angels. Archangels are head angels, king angels. They're leaders. That they may see you by the multitude of your iniquities. In the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I brought fire from the midst of you, and it has consumed you, and I have turned you in ashes on the earth. In the eyes of all who see you, all who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will be no more. Who is the king of hell? Who's the king of hell? Who is the king of hell?
Satan.
God.
Oh, okay.
Satan won't be the king of hell, people. He's not going to be the ruler of hell. It's going to be God. And there will be order in hell. Did you know that? They will march to the tune of God forever in hell. God is the God of hell. There will be no revolts in hell. It's a prison that's going to be maintained well forever and ever, the lake of fire. I remember a long time ago, I watched a movie called The Black Hole Walt Disney, and they had this bad thing, and he was like the devil with a pitchfork, and it was black, and all these flames of fire, and he was standing on this thing with this pitchfork up there at the end of that movie came. I can guarantee you one thing, Satan won't be standing like that. He's going to be right down in the mud in his face. All the times, you know what he's going to suffer for? Every time he persecuted you, every time he persecuted me and you, Pamela, every time he did anything in the history of mankind, every disease that he ever caused, every rebellion, every war that he ever caused, he's going to suffer for, and he will march in line in hell forever. Now let's go to the other Eden again. Go to the other Eden. Bereshith. In Genesis, the second chapter, and verse number 2 and 7. The Lord and I, we're just reading from the translation of the Bible. I mean, we could look at it from Hebrew, and we could. And 2 and 7. And Jehovah Elohim formed man as the dust from the ground, as he formed the dust from the ground. Now, man wasn't created from dust. He's created as dust, to become dust. And he breathed into his nostrils the breathings of lives, and man became a living soul. Sharon, your soul was there. My soul was there. We were all right there. Pamela, your soul was there. Roger, your soul was there. Everybody's soul was in him. Everybody's life was in him. He breathed into him the breathings of lives. We were all there. All in that one entity. And the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, planted a garden toward the east. What does the word east mean? Mekadim. Remember what that means? The front. The front. The front. In Eden. Now, we have two Edens, don't we, have in the Bible? One of them in eternity past and one of them in time and space. And both of these are going to be throne rooms. Now, where was Adam created? Outside of Eden. And so God created Adam outside the Eden, and he's going to plant a throne room and put Adam in this throne room. And there he placed the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree. Now, the seeds of the tree and the roots of the trees were already in the ground. We have reconstruction here, okay? And it is pleasing to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of Eden. Still we're talking about Eden, aren't we? To water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon, and it flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of the land is good. The bdellium and the onyx stone are there. And the name of the second river is Gihon. And it flows around the whole land of Cush. Now remember, this earth that we have here is not the continents. This is Pangaea. So this, what we call terra firma, this description of this land is not as it is today. This was probably Mesopotamia. Because we have, and the name of the third river is Tigris, that flows east out east of Assyria, and the fourth river is called Euphrates, so we have the Tigris and Euphrates, and what between those rivers is called what?
Mesopotamia,
which means Mesopotamia, land between the rivers. So there's where it is. And the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate and to keep it, to cultivate and to guard it. Guard it from what? What did he guard it from?
Satan.
All right. Lord God commanded man, saying, from every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, dying you shall die. You begin the process of dying. And then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. And I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now let's go back into the Hebrew Scriptures, back in verse number 18. And let's look at it. You have 2 in verse 18 there. Wayomer Hadabar. Elohim. Lo Tov. Hayoth. Ha'adam, Livado, Ese, Lo, Ezer, Kenigdom, Kenigdo, that is. And said and kept on saying, Jehovah, Elohim, not good, not Tov. Tov, see that word Tov there? That means good. Not good to become the man, the Adam, to his separation. That means alone by himself. I shall make for him, or to him, an assistant, an aid, a czar, an aid to be his several counterparts, to be stationed in front of him, to correspond to him, to stand over against him. A man and a woman are made perfectly. This, imagine a man and a woman standing face to face. They correspond to each other, don't they? Eye to eye, nose to nose, mouth to mouth. All of their body parts receiving the other. That's the way they are. That's the way God made it. That's a gift that God gave to man. Wayitzer. Hadavar. Elohim, men. Ha'adama, Kol, Chayat, Hasida, Wieth, Kol, Of, Hashemayim, Wayave, El, Ha'adam, Leroth, Mah, Yikra, Lo, we call Asher, Yikra, Lo, Ha'adam, Nefesh, Chaya, Hu, Shimo. And he found and kept on finding Jehovah Elohim as from the same elements, the ground, every beast, Chayat, every living thing, every living beast, of the prairie, of the wild plains, Hasada. Remember what Hasada means, Sharon? That's it. The moist meadowlands. The lands that are green and pretty. We et and call every wing flapper. Every wing flapper. Every wombly, as you'd say in Lakota. Every wing flapper. Hashamayim. Hashamayim. Of the heavens. Everything that lives and flies and has its abode in the heavens. Now, have you ever had a pet bird? Yeah. They're neat little things, aren't they? But that pet bird didn't correspond to man. Cows? Dogs? Dogs are wonderful pets, aren't they? just absolutely just wonderful little loving, caring, cherishing pets. And calls to come unto the man, Yahweh, unto the man, Ha'adam, Leroth, to see what he will call to and all which he might call him to the man or Adam, to an individual of life living his name. Do they have souls? Is that nephesh there? Is it a living thing? Does it have breath in it? Does it have a mind in it? Yes. It's got all of these things. We downplay God's creation so much. We downplay His creation. Dumb animals. Dumb animals. Dumb animals are not dumb animals. They are thinking little beings. They love, they hate, they do all kinds of things. They cherish each other sometimes, and they will kill to get angry. They kill each other sometimes because of their temper fits. But they have minds and souls, they think. Sometimes we play down God's creation, calling them His creation, His animals, dumb animals. How about just smart animals? Some animals are smarter than people. I've seen some mother dogs that take better care of their children than humans. I've seen many mother chickens would give their lives for their babies. And yet a woman's supposed to do that. That's what they use. But how many women use their children as pawns? We see this so many times. We see women on welfare just gathering in money and having as many children as she can and not taking care of those children, not treating those children like human beings, just using them. That's not as good as a good dog, not as good as a good chicken. 28. Vayikra ha'adam shemoth. Liko ha'bihima yuliof hash shemayim. Yuliko chayoth ha'seda yule adam. Lo matza ezer. Keg Nido. And he called the man names to all the domesticated large animals and to all the wing flappers, the womblies, and of the heavens, and to all the wild animals, the wildlife animals of the prairie, and for mankind not he found a helper corresponding to him. 221. Vayapel Hadavar Elohim. Tara di ma. All Ha'adam Vayishan Vayikak Ashath Mitzaloto Vayisgar Basar Tatina. And caused to fall Jehovah Elohim a deep hypnotic trance. The Septuagint is hypnose. Hypnose. Here we get our word hypnotic out of it. So God hypnotized Adam and caused this deep hypnotic trance upon the man, and he kept on sleeping. He slept and he kept on sleeping. He is under anesthesia. And when he wakes up, he's going to be real surprised. And he took and kept on taking literally one of his sides from his sides. One part of all his sides. One part of all his sides. It says, Ilah bemion, ton, pleron, autu. In the Septuagint, it said, and he took, men, one of the sides. We get a word pleurisy from that. One from each side. One from every side. One from every side. Roger, you want to come up here? Right up here. We're going to use you for an illustration right now. How many sides do you have?
One, two, three, four.
All right. Here's a side. There's a side. There's a side. There's a side, isn't it? And that's the top and that's the bottom. So how many sides did he take from him?
Six.
All sides. Thank you, brother. All sides. He took from all of his sides and he made... Sharon, you want to come up here real quick? And from that side, he placed there, he placed there, he placed there, he placed there. Four sides. All right, four sides. So God took from Adam and he made woman corresponding to him. Woman has a front, woman has a back, woman has a right, and woman has a left side, don't they? That's good. So that's how he made woman. Now we got it. And you have a face and she has a face. You have a nose and she has a mouth. And you have eyes, you have ears. And you have feet. And you leave foot tracks. And the foot tracks look like each other. One may be bigger than the other or whatever, but your foot tracks are left alike, aren't they? Because you walk upon legs. Upon the man he slept, and he took one from each side of his sides, one from all of his sides, and he closed, and he closed and kept on closing the fleshes, basar, the fleshes, instead of her. Instead of her. There's a little adverb or preposition here. Underneath, instead of her. Where God took the woman out, he closed the flesh and the man. And he kept on closing all these fleshes. He closed the fleshes instead of her. Jehovah took flesh, blood, and bone and caused the flesh instead of her to close back up. We used to have stitches that were made out of horsehair. I have used horsehair to stitch it. One time I was up in Walker Basin and my horse that I rode, Red Ears, got in an argument with another horse, and the horse run him into a barbed wire fence and cut his shoulder all loose. And so I looked around, and I, in my backpack that I had a saddlebag off the back of the, it wasn't like a saddlebag like this, but around the saddle, there was a saddlebag there, and I looked in there, and I found a curved needle, because I always kept a curved needle in there. And I had a bottle of alcohol. So I washed that horse's shoulder up, and I went back to his tail, and I pulled out his hair, some long pieces of hair, and I took him and threaded him in there, and then my boy had a twitch on Red Ear's nose like that, and I'm pouring alcohol on him, and I'm sewing the flesh instead of and up and pulling it back together. I did that and sewed him back together. Clipped it off and tied it, everything, and he was back in one piece again. I closed the flesh back up. 2:22. Why Yaven, Hathavar Elohim et Hat Zilah Asher Lakak Min Ha'adam Liish Shah Wayevihiha El Ha'adam. And he built according to a pattern. Look at that. He built according to a pattern, Jehovah Elohim. The sides. How many sides?
Six.
All sides. The top, the bottom, the front, and the back, and the sides. All sides which he had taken from the mankind into out of man, feminine man. Apo tu Adam eis genaike. That's what it says in Greek. From the Adam unto the woman. Look at that word, eis genaike. Eis genaike. unto, from Adam unto the woman. Waivia. And he calls to come, to lead. Third person masculine and singular, hifel, while consecutive, imperfect. He calls to become her unto the man. Now we have the first marriage. The first marriage is performed by God himself. 2:23. Let's look at this. This is beautiful now. We went from hell to creation here, didn't we? From old Satan to the creation. Wayomer, ha-adam, zoth, ha-pa'am, et zem, mi'at za-na, ma, let me get it again, mi'at za-mai, yuvasar, mi-bi-sari, lezoth, yikari, isha, ki, mi-ish, lu-ko-cha, Zoth. And he said the man, and he said and kept on saying the man, Zoth, this, my foot track. My footprint. My foot track. This is my foot track. My impression. She is my footprint in the sand. Bone, etzem bone, from my bones. How many bones? Was it a rib, Sharon?
No.
No, wasn't a rib, was it? It's bones. How many bones? Plural. Plural. Bone from my bones. You, Vassar, and fleshes from my fleshes to this feminine one. How more romantic could that be? Can you think of anything more romantic than that? She shall be called. She shall always be called. She shall keep on being called. Ish-sha. Out of man. Out of man. Because from man, Luka-cha, she has been taken. From this feminine one, Zoth, this feminine one. Verse number 24, we have a prophecy. All can, Ya'azo, Ish, Et, Aviv, Avi, that is, Aviv, Wiet, Imo, We Dagbach, Be ishto, we haya, hayu that is, levasar, yehad. Thus for, therefore, because of this, he shall keep on leaving man, masculine man, his father. Did Adam have a father, really? The only father he had was God, wasn't it? What was Adam going to do with God about this woman? What was he going to do? What was God, Adam, going to do because of this woman, Brother Roger?
Leave the garden.
Going to leave the garden. Going to leave God to him. He's going to leave his father. Going to walk off and leave him because of that woman. Now, this is a prophecy. A man shall leave his father and his mother. And his mother, Imo, Widavak, and he shall stick, adhere to, be formed into one, glued together, mutually, front and back, face to face, back to back. To his feminine one. And they shall have become to flesh ahad one. They will hold each other face to face, hand to hand. Because of this, he shall leave behind man, the father. This is what it says in Greek, in the Septuagint. Anakin aptuto kata lapsane, anthropos ton patera aptu, kai tain matera, kai prosokalepsthesetai, pros tain geneke aptu. Because of this, he shall leave behind man, the father of him and the mother, and he shall keep on gluing himself to, embracing toward the wife of him. (clears throat) 225. This is very beautiful. Wayuyu shinuhim arumin ha'adam viishto vilo yith bo shashu. And they became and continued to be, both of them, the two of them, naked. Naked. They became naked. The man and the woman, and not they shamed themselves. Man and woman in marriage are naked, and they love to be naked with each other, don't they? They love to be close. They want to be close. They desire to be close. They desire the close presence of the other one. That's what it is. And who put that? Who made that way?
God.
God did. God made it that way. You know, the Catholic Church, now this is just contrary to all of that. The Catholic Church, and as you were in that system, you settled for less when God, you could have had God's best. Now you have God's best. That Catholic Church says that a woman and man becoming together in marriage is a sinful thing if they're not going to have children in every event. That's not what it says here, is it? It's not what it says here. False religion always causes man to more strict than what God does, doesn't it? Always more strict than what God does. There's more, there's always more demands. The Pharisees had 600 and something laws besides what God had. A man and a woman, when a woman gets to the point where she can't have any more children, she's at postmenopause, they can't be together anymore. I remember going and talking to this fellow that was a brother to one of my students, and he said, I just went on a Catholic retreat, and the father's out there and everything else, and we were staying with our wives and everything, and he said, no, no, no. Don't you touch those men. Don't you touch those women. No, no, no. That's wrong. Unless you're going to have babies, you don't do that. No hanky-panky. I said, well, that's not what Genesis 2:25 says. That's all I can say. That's not what Genesis 2:25 says. God made man and woman to correspond together for each other's mutual affection. That's it. And that's beautiful, isn't it? That's beautiful. Now, let's go on a little bit further where we were before. Let's go ahead. Do you have any questions on any of this? Any questions? Brother Roger? Did you learn something? Did you see something in this tonight that you maybe haven't seen before? Genesis 11. Genesis 11 chapter. In verse 5, we have more rebellion here. We talk about rebellion in the angelic world. Now we're talking about rebellion in terra firma, upon the earth, epites geis. Why you read? 11 and verse 5. Hathabar, Leroth, et ha'ayer, we et ha'migdol, asher, banu, benei, ha'adam. And now this is what we call a condescension. What's a condescension? It's a figure of speech in the Bible, and it is what we call a theological term. Con means what? Huh? With. Con, den. Condescend. To come down with. Now, is God omnipresent, Sharon?
Yes.
He has to be omnipresent to be God, doesn't he? All right. Does he have to go any place to be there? No. So now we have a condescension. We have a figure of speech getting us to understand that God was, he goes down. In other words, he's inspecting this. All right. And it came down Jehovah. Now, what does the word Jehovah mean? He who shall become. This is the Inspector General, Brother Roger. The Inspector General of the universe. That's God the Son. To see, to inspect, Cal infinitive construct, to inspect Et Ha'er, the city. What city is this?
Babylon.
And the tower. We Et Ha'Migdol, and the tower. Now, what had happened prior to this? I want you to just think now. I love to make you people think. Where are we in the period of time? Look back there. What had just happened before this?
The flood.
The flood. All right, the flood. Now, what happened in the flood? God sent enough water to do what? To cover the whole earth. Now we got Nimrod and his cohorts, all right? And what's Nimrod do?
Makes a city.
He builds a great big mountain, maybe taller than Mount Ararat, okay? God, leave us alone. You send another flood, you're not going to touch us. We're going to be up there in our religious ceremonies, right up on top. And guess whose seat was up there on top? And if you look if you discover how big this one, how many days it took to go up, how many days it took to climb this thing, it's way up yonder in the clouds. It's a tall, tall, tall building, tall tower. Thumbing their nose at God and saying, ha, 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 you just wait. You're not going to bring judgment upon us, but God does it in a different way. What's this tower made out of? Bricks. Bricks. And it had asphalt between as mortar. And this city and the tower, which they had built. Now, look at that, Sharon. Would you conjugate that little verb there, banu?
Third person.
Construct.
Construct. Plural. Perfect.
Is this finished?
Yeah.
The tower is finished, isn't it? It's not in the process of being built. How many Sunday school lessons have you ever read where they said they were building the tower and God stopped them from building the tower? What happened here? They had built the tower, the sons of mankind. All right? Verse number 6. Wayomer, Hadavar, Hen, Alma, Ehad, We Sofa, Achoth, Lichulehem, Wizer, Hachilam, La Asoth, Weata, Lo, Yabitzer, Mihem, Kol Asher, Yazimu, La Osoth. Let's go on and look into this little story a little bit further. And he said and kept on saying, Jehovah, the one who shall become. Behold, look, this is the interjection. Hen. People, a family. People, this is a family now. A family one. And one language. And language one. Lu chulam. To all of them. And this, they're beginning to profane. They're beginning to profane. To do or to make and now? Not, they will shut off from them anything which they shall lay out, consider a plan, and we get the word schematic from that, to do. They're one language, all right? Wasaf, Achath, one language. And there's one family. And did they have one family? Whose family was this? Huh? This is Ham's. These are the Hamites, aren't they? Okay. And it's Noah's family, by the way. And they're beginning to profane. Ha-chilam. Ha-chilam. It's Chala, page 320. See if I can get this thing to set here while I go over here. To pollute, to defile, to profane. To untie, undo. To escape the wrath of God. To esteem lawful, to be free, to desecrate, to violate. To violate oneself, to violate each other. To violate a covenant. The beginning and the end. So what's happening here now? Mankind have completely abandoned the religious binding they have with God, and they're beginning to start a new religion. A new religion. And then it says here in verse 11 and verse 6, Wyomer, Hadabar, Hen. Well, let's go back. I went backwards. 11 and verse 7. Hava, Nivrida, Winav Elah, Sham, Sifatham, Asher, Lo, Yishmiu, Ish, Sophath, Rehu. I think that's it. Come, let us go down. Come, let us go down. First Boston Constructual Cal Cohortiva meeting. Let's go down for ourselves. And let's mix, mingle, and confuse their language. So that not they may hear, they may keep on hearing each one the language of his neighbor. So now what happened here, Sharon?
Well, they could not understand.
They couldn't understand Hebrew anymore, could they? They no longer could understand Hebrew any longer. So now they start to divide. And that's where we are. We're going to stop right there. Do you have any questions? Did you learn something tonight? Well, we went from 11:5, 5 to 7. And, of course, all those other verses that we went to.
I have a question.
Yes.
Here where it's saying, come, let us go down.
Uh-huh.
That's a triune God.
That's the triune God. That's the triune God. Let's. What did it say in Genesis 1:26? Let us make man in our image. Now, the whole triune God goes down, and this is called what kind of a figure of speech? Theological term? A condescension. So they're all going down, and they're going to see what's going to happen here, and let's look and see what's going on. And we know that God was looking down all the time, wasn't he? He didn't learn anything new. But for our understanding, what we do here is we look and we see what God's planning. And that's that condescension. All right? Is that... How about you, Pamela? Did we answer your questions tonight? Okay, we could have gone in the book of Revelation and we could have looked at a couple of other places, but I don't think we need to on the Garden of Eden and all that. Brother Roger, but what we call the rainbow throne of God, that Lucifer had access to originally. Brother Roger, you have anything? Any comments?
Well, I always thought that was when it said we'll go down, it was like me and the angels, or all of us.
It's the triune God.
Yeah.
Triune God. And of course, probably the angels followed him. We don't have any trouble with angels going between dimensions, do we? I read something to one of my classes the other day. I could probably let's see if this is it. No. I have it someplace. And I think it would be maybe appropriate if I could find it. It doesn't look like I'm going to. Maybe I will. Here it is. Talking about dimensions. God travels through all dimensions. And then let's look and talk about dimensions right now for just a moment. We can move up and down. Up and down. Forward and backward. Left to right. And these are the three spatial dimensions that we can experience in our daily lives. So our common sense tells us that there are three dimensions, doesn't it? Forward, backward, up and down. This is the basic fact of nature. Stretching your arm forward, you can rotate your arm so that it points in any direction you want. You may have to move your body while you're doing this little exercise, but the clock is ticking. That time is moving forward, which is another dimension. In space and time, we have three dimensions, but then time becomes the fourth dimension. And they know at the speed of light, if you go at the speed of light, you're in one place. But if you're moving at the speed of light, like on a merry-go-round, time accelerates tremendously. That other dimension. This was an understanding until a century ago when in 1905 Albert Einstein came up with the theory of special relativity, which has been shown to be correct to a very high accuracy. In a special relativity, time is treated almost like another dimension. We're talking about going down. Let us go down. God lives in eternity, doesn't he? And now he comes down into space and time. One may perform a special type of rotation between space and time, which is called a boost. Nothing can be accelerated to move faster than light, and that is what? 186,000 miles per second. Also, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. In an elegant mathematical framework, time is treated as another dimension, so we may consider space and time to be four-dimensional. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Einstein went on to unify special relativity with gravity. Mathematical consistency led him to the theory of general relativity, where space and time is curved. Space and time is curved. Again, this theory has passed many tests. In the past 100 years, it has become very clear that we live in a quantum world. What's quantum mean? At least a four-dimensional. Where atoms, molecules, and electronics obey quantum rules quite differently from our daily experience. It is a natural for scientists to unify quantum mechanics and the Einstein's gravity. This turns out to be a very challenging problem. Many great minds, including Einstein himself, had tried over the years. 20 years ago, such a theory was finally discovered, namely the superstring theory. The theory is very deep. After an intensive effort of over 20 years of hundreds of physicists and mathematicians and scientists, we have some idea what the theory is telling us. To start out, the theory has 10 dimensions. The theory has 10 dimensions. Six more spatial dimensions than our experience tells us, and God lives in all those dimensions. Because in those dimensions is eternity. Six more spatial dimensions than our experience tell us. We believe those six extra dimensions are curled up into tiny sizes, much smaller than atoms, too small to be detected with the most powerful microscope. Consider ants crawling on top of a tabletop. In their daily experience, they can explore only two dimensions. Ants on a tabletop. Those of the table service, They may see a bee flying or occasionally landing on the table tabletop, but the third dimension is something they can only see or imagine, not experience. Perhaps we are in an analogous situation. Instead of a tabletop, we live in a three-dimensional space called a free brain, B-R-A-N-E, world. A free brain. For some reason, consider atoms, molecules, and photons, etc., are stuck in this three brain, even though there are six additional dimensions out there. Gravity, like the bee, can go everywhere. We call this brain world a rather natural phenomena in a superstring theory. At the moment, physicists are working hard to understand the scenario better and find out ways to experimentally test this idea. They're playing in God's dimensions, people. They're playing in God's dimension. We're discovering some things that man has never understood before. This side of the garden. Because Adam understood it all, didn't he? All right, do you have any other questions? I hope this class was I hope it helped you tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for your word. Guide us in your ways. Help us to understand it. Help us to glorify you with it. Forgive us where we failed you. And guide us as we go through this life. Help us to do something eternal, which we do every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.